How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine. We are here for you every week, multiple times per week during the dead of the offseason. But I guess right now there is no dead of the offseason for the Boston Celtics because they just keep doing things. So we're going to keep talking about them. Today, we're going to be getting into the sale of the Houston Rockets, which was wild. But also Isaiah Thomas in Cleveland, which just looks weird to me, and we haven't done a show since the Kyrie Irving news conference, so Jay King is with me. I'm John Corrales. We're the Rain and Jays, brought to you today by SeatGeek. Let's dive into it. Kyrie and Gordon Hayward on the podium talking as members of the Boston Celtics. It was kind of a surreal moment, kind of wild, and Kyrie is an interesting dude.
Yeah, I thought... My biggest takeaway from the press conference and was probably that he talked a lot about wanting to be part of team basketball. And maybe that was just him trying to endear himself to the new fans. Maybe that's him saying that part of this new responsibility, part of what I wanted when I left LeBron James, was I wanted to be part of something different and something where I wasn't in the shadow of some other guy and where our team can grow and kind of develop together and reach whatever heights together and not kind of riding along with LeBron James. So we'll see. He said all the right things. Obviously, he needs to prove it. He needs to do all the right things for this team to reach its core. But it was crazy. I mean, for Gordon Hayward especially, like, he signed on for one situation. Now it's a very different situation. But I assume he's happy to play with Kyrie Irving. And it's just kind of how the NBA works. Sometimes you signed to play with Isaiah Thomas and end up sitting next to Kyrie Irving a month later at a press conference.
I know, it's crazy. It's just a kind of a wild turn for the Celtics. I'm still in shock seeing Kyrie Irving up there. First of all, clean shaven, looks weird. And seeing him up there talking about being a Celtic and how he's going to do certain things and trying to think about ways that he will work in Boston that didn't quite work in Cleveland. And it sounds weird to say how things didn't quite work in Cleveland, but there are things that didn't work. We talk about how the offense last season cratered without LeBron James. With Kyrie on the floor, there were still problems with the offense, so they needed LeBron on the floor. And there are some worries about Kyrie coming here, and can he carry the offense himself?
That's one of the things that's the weirdest to me, right? Like, Kyrie's numbers, even his efficiency, was almost the same without LeBron James, and his usage rate was ridiculous. Like, he was doing so much for that offense, and yet the offense plummeted. Was that just because Cleveland's system was designed for LeBron? Was that, you know, signs of Kyrie not being able to lift the guys around him? Was it some combination of both? I don't know, but we're about to find out, man. We are about to freaking find out.
We are about to find out. I do think, and I've been doing a lot of research on this because I am working on a piece that, so I don't want to step on it too much. I'm working on a piece that's going to be on Boston.com, specifically addressing Kyrie and his offense in Boston compared to the things that he had in Cleveland, I do think the personnel around him will matter. Specifically when you talk about LeBron James not being on the floor. Obviously, LeBron on the floor changes everything, and we don't have a LeBron, duh. So we got to figure out something else. But the personnel around Kyrie is going to allow him to do things in Boston that didn't necessarily work in Cleveland. Just the difference of having Tristan Thompson running pick and rolls with Tristan Thompson versus running pick and roll slash pick and pop with Al Horford. Al Horford brings an entirely different dynamic to the offense, to Kyrie's offense. His ability to read and roll or pop and hit threes and take threes, be a threat, will completely change how Irving was defended all season long when he was running the pick and rolls with Tristan Thompson, because Tristan Thompson doesn't shoot beyond 5 feet. So that alone changes the dynamic of what Kyrie will do in Boston. And from there, you know, everybody runs the pick and roll. And if you can keep the defense guessing, then all of a sudden Kyrie becomes more of a slasher. He doesn't settle for mid-range shots. He can step behind picks and launch threes, clean looks at threes. And then once he gets into the lane and defenses collapse, then he can show off what kind of passer he can be. His assist numbers, his assist rate was pretty equal to Isaiah's last season. So I think one thing that we can see just from him running off of Al Horford is just opening up different dynamics of his game that we didn't see in Cleveland. So I think that is going to be part of the evolution of Kyrie Irving. And we'll see, once he has those options, what does he do? Does he still settle for those mid-range jumpers, or does he sit there and look at all of these options and say, oh wow, I can do all of these different things, and he kind of evolves his game that way? And I would expect a guy 25 years old under Brad Stevens to actually make those steps, even if at first he just settles into old habits, that the coaching staff can say, these are your options. Start taking these options. We want you to take these options.
Yeah, and I think it'll be really interesting to see how his shot profile changes. I guess the opportunity profile is more of a better phrase here. Like, is he going to still take such a huge chunk of isolations? Because obviously he's great in isolation. He's incredible in isolation, probably the world's best isolation scorer. But that doesn't necessarily help out your team as much as if he's, you know, coming around different actions, running the pick and roll, whatever the case may be. So it'll be interesting to see how the Celtics use him. I think a lot of this has to do with how willing he is as a passer. Isaiah Thomas wasn't the world's greatest passer, but because he was willing sometimes to just give up his quest to the hoop and turn around and find Al Horford and let Al Horford be the hub as a playmaker, it let the Celtics be really, really great offensively whenever Isaiah was on the court. So I think the willingness of Kyrie Irving to hit the open man is going to be huge. And another thing I think is going to be really important is free throw attempts. I think last year, I have the on-off splits right here. When LeBron James was on the court, Kyrie Irving averaged 3.9 assists per 36 minutes. And when LeBron James was off the court, that almost doubled. And obviously, he's not going to have LeBron anymore. So can he reach that many free throw attempts in Boston? Can he continue to getting to the line, which was a huge part of what made Isaiah Thomas so efficient, was that he did get to the line so often, and he did knock down those free throws, and he did get those easy points that way. And I say easy points, but you really have to work for those. And I think Kyrie has to do that and become, you know, more of that free throw getting guy than he was necessarily in Cleveland last season. I think that'll be a big part of his development too. So there's a lot of variables that will impact what he does. A lot of things will change about his role. I know he's going to score a ton of points. I just don't know how exactly those will come and how impactful those will be.
Yeah, I think the free throw thing is going to be a big deal, a big part of it. And like I was saying before, because of the different personnel, I think he will find his way to the hoop more. Isaiah took twice as many free throws per game as Kyrie Irving, which is kind of crazy considering how good Kyrie Irving is at getting to the rim. He just, to take half as many free throws just shows that he needs to get to the free throw line more often. So that'll be a big part of his offense moving forward. It's going to be interesting. Like, it's just situation matters. We say it all the time, and just different guys. And yeah, there's no LeBron, but I'm certainly not going to compare Gordon Hayward to LeBron, but Gordon Hayward does command respect out there on the floor. The defense does have to pay a lot of attention to him. So that still opens things up. Now, we'll see how they play off of each other, but there are a lot of guys on the Celtics that command respect out at the three-point line. So that will give a lot of opportunity for Irving to evolve.
I think their shooting, especially with the surrounding guys, isn't nearly the same as it was last season. Like, they don't have Kelly Olynyk, they don't have Avery Bradley, they don't have Jay Crowder, three guys who are very good in spot-up situations. They don't have even Amir Johnson versus Aaron Baines. There's a big drop-off between how teams have to guard Johnson at the arc, because even though it took him 2 weeks to release a jump shot, he was actually pretty decent at it. So now you have Marcus Morris, who's never been a three-point shooter. You have Jaylen Brown, who hasn't proven himself. You have Jason Tatum, who didn't look at all comfortable shooting threes in the preseason and who might one day become a three-point shooter, but I don't know if it'll be in his rookie season. So, especially coming from where Kyrie was in Cleveland, with everyone was a shooter. The team was built to maximize LeBron. And so they brought in Channing Frye, and they brought in Kyle Korver, and they brought in all these pieces that could hit spot-up threes. Now Kyrie may not have that in the role-player pieces. And I think there's a lot more like isolation talent on the Celtics now. I don't know if they have the same amount of spot-up shooting that they had last year, and I don't know if the spacing will be quite the same as it was last year because of it. So it might be tougher for Kyrie, when he's not playing with both Al Horford and Gordon Hayward, at least, to find lanes to the rim. And he's unbelievable at creating those lanes and getting through lanes that don't even exist. but that is going to be, I think, a challenge for him. Will be kind of navigating the lack of space when they have some of those lesser shooters on the court. And it won't be all the time, but it will be sometimes. And I think that's going to be a big thing for Brad Stevens too. Like, the things that worked last season may not work anymore, because this team, I don't think it has as much passing. I don't think it has as much shooting. And really, like, the talents of this team are very different than it was with the players last year. There's only four guys returning. Obviously, it's going to be that. And even though, you know, you upgraded and you got some serious star talent, there's going to be a lot of figuring things out, I think, especially early in the season, as Brad determines what's the best way to use the players on this team.
Well, we'll see. I think the threat of being the three-point shooter, you're right, they don't have the level of three-point shooting that they did before, but they still have threats. And when you're defending out, you have to still respect the threat. And so I still think that will present openings for Irving. And like I said before, I think having a guy like Thompson out of the mix that clogs the lane versus Al Horford changes enough of the dynamic where he'll have a lot more looks than he did before, a lot different looks than he did before. Really the best way to figure out exactly how this is all going to go down, how he's going to be used, and how his offense will evolve, is to get on the SeatGeek app and go see the games in person, so you can get up close and personal. You can get any ticket in the arena through the SeatGeek app, and you can get close, you can listen to the instructions, you can listen to Brad Stevens and see how he's substituting and everything. Because the SeatGeek app is now the smartest, easiest way to get these tickets to live events. It doesn't have to be basketball. It could be baseball. Playoffs are coming up. NFL is starting. You can go to a Patriots game or whichever your favorite team is. You can get on that SeatGeek app. They help you find the best seats at the best prices, and it's all fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team, a musician, or a comedian in person. And SeatGeek can help you get closer to the action for a great value. I know I've used the SeatGeek app a bunch. It's a great way to compare prices. Jay has talked about using the SeatGeek app before. It's designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. It saves you time and money because it searches all of the multiple ticket sites to compare the prices and find you those deals. And it gets you the most bang for your buck because it grades every ticket based on value. So you can see, it gives it a score based on what the tickets are going for. It'll tell you very quickly, this is a good deal, this is a bad deal. You can see it's color-coded. You can set up a price alert, so when it falls or a ticket falls into your price range, it'll let you know and you can buy it. So you, and by the way, all fully guaranteed, so you can shop for your tickets with complete confidence. And you can get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase by downloading the SeatGeek app, entering the promo code LONBA, and that's it. $20 back. SeatGeek sends you $20 back off your first SeatGeek purchase. LONBA is the promo code. LONBA. $20 back off your first SeatGeek purchase. Do it. You can even do it in Cleveland and see Isaiah Thomas.
Support for this podcast comes from NetSuite. NetSuite lets you run your business from your phone, so you can see what's going on with your company in real time. Go to netsuite.com/podcast to get your free guide and find out why NetSuite is the last business system you'll ever need.
And I've seen pictures of Isaiah Thomas roaming around Cleveland with Cavs gear on, and it's just weird to see. It's going to take me a while to get used to this.
Yeah, it's weird, man. Very rarely does a guy who becomes so beloved in a city get traded really at the height of his powers. Like, Isaiah was all NBA second team. He led the Celtics, who were in the lottery a couple years ago, all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. He was everything Boston could have possibly wanted and more, and then he gets traded, dealt away.
Oh, God.
So yeah, it's weird to see him in Cleveland. It'll be weird to see him alongside LeBron James whenever he gets healthy. The whole trade, like, it's still a stunning trade to me. I'm still shocked that the top two teams of the Eastern Conference, who have so many things going on, not just now, but like their future could go in very different ways dealing with each other. It was crazy to me. I'm still shocked, man. I'll be shocked for a long time.
I know. It really is. It's a very weird time. And then to go to Cleveland, and who knows what the hell is happening in Cleveland. They could be on the verge of completely breaking up. LeBron is probably being driven out of there. I can't believe that he is just so universally believed to be gone. It blows my mind. And how toxic does that situation have to be? How bad does Dan Gilbert have to be to have LeBron come back and say, you know what? Forget it. Like, that's what blows my mind, that Gilbert has created a situation around that team where LeBron is just, he can't deal with it anymore. Coaching changes,
I don't know if that's
front
case,
office man. Changes.
We'll see.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure I don't want to make it all Gilbert, I guess. But still, Dan Gilbert.
But I'm not convinced
really
LeBron's
is
leaving either.
Oh, well, now see, that would be interesting. I'm not sure what to think anymore, but it's just so universal. Everywhere I look, everybody just says, "Yeah, he's gone." He's gone.
I don't know. Kevin Durant said the other day that he thinks he's staying, and he's always thought he's staying. So, we'll see. There's a lot of factors that could impact his decision, from Isaiah Thomas's health to what Cleveland decides to do ultimately with the Brooklyn pick. Do they go out and add more established help? Would LeBron rather have a younger guy to come in and kind of lift the team up in that sense? So there's a lot of kind of fluidity to it. Obviously, there's only a year left for LeBron to decide everything. We'll see. There's been a lot of instability there, but I thought that trade for Cleveland, you can argue, debate it, I think, from Boston's standpoint. But for Cleveland, I thought that was a home run, especially if Isaiah Thomas can return healthy this season. And who knows what size if that is right now. I don't have the medical information, so I'd be totally guessing if I even made a guess. If he does come back healthy, the Cavaliers might have improved themselves this year and in the future with the Brooklyn pick. So Jay Crowder will help a lot. Jay Crowder is just the type of player Cleveland needed. So I have to think LeBron believes that Cleveland, after dealing with a lot of shit this summer, kind of bounced back and made a smart move with the trade to Boston.
Yeah, look, Isaiah has said that he doesn't need surgery, that he'll be back. And Cleveland is in a position where they don't need Isaiah right away. They can coast. They'll be fine. You know, so what if they end up, let's say they lose a few games and, you know, they make a run later or whatever. So what if they end up being, the third seed? Even though they could fall down. Hell, they could be the eighth seed. Who gives a shit in Cleveland? Like, you don't think if they're healthy and LeBron is healthy and they're ready to go in a run in the playoffs, they won't? I mean, that's fine. It probably helps them out to coast a little bit. So if Isaiah is even out long term, if it's even the All-Star break, he'll come back and he'll be good. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out. It still doesn't make it Cleveland any less of a mess. And I just wonder today, after the Rockets get sold for $2.2 billion, that's a lot of dollars, that I wonder if Dan Gilbert isn't like looking at this market and saying it's time to cash out and make a shitload of money. Les Alexander bought the Rockets in 1993 for $85 million, and he sold them for $2.2 billion. It makes you wonder if we're ripe for a turnover in NBA ownership. A lot of these guys, I looked it up, Wick Grosbeck and the basketball partners group that he put together, that ownership group, they paid $330 million for the Celtics 15 years ago. And Forbes puts their value at $2.2 billion. The Forbes value of the Rockets was at $1.6 billion. So the Celtics theoretically could get $2.5 billion. Those guys could get $2.5 billion in cash out if they want.
Maybe even more than
that. You don't think
that's
crossing their minds?
I would sell for $2 billion.
You know, I mean, really, it's, and they're doing great. Like, they're not, they don't need money, but you sit there and you say they can, what's that even work out to? Like sixfold, sevenfold their investment more? Like, how do you not at least have that conversation? Be like, you know, I could sell this team for $2.5 billion, make a shitload of money, and just cash out and retire and just go live the even richer life. It's hard to blame any of these guys for considering it. And look at going back to the Cleveland thing. They put a bunch of renovations on hold. I wouldn't put it past Dan Gilbert to sell that team. And I don't know if that would make it more likely or less likely that LeBron would stay. I have no clue, but it's still such a mess over there that I don't know how any of this is going to work out long term for them.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see. The great unknowns in the Eastern Conference, man.
All right. Well, nice little fun conversation. Quick one here to talk about the things that have happened since the last podcast. I want to let you guys know a couple of cool things. First of all, I just found out that we can be called up on your smart home stuff like Alexa or your Google Home. If you say Alexa, play Locked On Celtics, it'll find us and it'll play the latest episode. That's really cool. If you say, okay, Google, play Locked On Celtics, your Google device will fire up and play the next podcast that's available.
We are voice activated in this bitch.
Isn't that nuts? Like, I don't know. This is wild. What a time to be alive. We also want to implore you to please rate us 5 stars on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Let people know. We know that you listen to about 5 different podcasts. We want to be in your starting 5. We'll play any position. We're versatile. We're part of that positionless podcasting, you know, but we could be, as long as we're in your top 5, then that's where we want to be, and we should be. We should be one of your starting 5 podcasts. Let your friends know. Let your family know. Let everybody know that we should be in your top 5 podcasts. So do that by rating us 5 stars, leaving us a nice little review, tweet about it, put it on Facebook, share it when we post it, and let the folks know that they should be listening to Locked On Celtics, which is just wrapping up. So thanks for listening. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, J. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.